Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Smile at the person next to you. Say hello to them. Tell them you are blessed in Jesus' name. Tell them you look nice in Jesus' name. Tell them you will not leave here empty-handed in Jesus' name. Tell them that if you do not take your blessing, hope you don't mind my taking for you. Amen. I don't mind taking a double portion. The blessing might be too heavy for you. I can carry it home. Amen. You know, it's almost like what we say when someone says they love you and they take you to the restaurant and say, well, I love you so much, I will eat on your behalf. Just relax. Take it easy. I will do the eating. I'll eat your plate. I eat mine. And I will feel good for you. What do you consider that? Cheating, right? Taking advantage. It will be abuse also. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And we thank God for that which God is doing in our midst. And the Bible says, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. If you do not know something, you will accept all that kind of things. Your knowledge is light. Amen. And I believe that as you receive knowledge, as you know God, you would know what God expects of you. Amen. I am expectant. And this lasts less than 3 months of the year. Let it count. Amen. Don't quit on God. God will not quit on you. Don't begin to look at it, the year and say, well, it's almost finished and nothing can happen. You are not expectant because you are now thinking, well, maybe I'll have to wait till 2023. What God has spoken concerning this year, be expectant to the very last second. God is able to do that which he has said he will do. But you do not want to quit on God and walk away. I want to let you know a secret. You're almost there. You didn't hear me. You're almost there. You're almost there. You know, when you think you are not there, is the enemy telling you, give up, give up, give up. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, for with God, nothing shall be possible. Amen? And the Bible says in Mark 9, 23, it says, nothing shall be impossible to him that believes. So if you believe, then you connect into nothing shall be impossible with God because you are now in sync with God. Amen. I welcome you to Jesus House, Toronto. We are a parish of the Redeemed Christian Church of God. And wherever we are located, whether in this premises, at home, at the office, in a business place, we are the Joy Center. Our joy will always be full. Jesus Christ promised that as you ask, your joy will be made full. And I believe that whatever you ask, as you pray concerning it and believe God for it, it will come to pass in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we are continuing with the word for the month, upgrading our belief system. We spoke about it in the month of September. We're still talking about it because it is an open secret. It is an open secret. We must believe God. We seem to believe man. We seem to believe every other thing except God. We must believe God. And today we'll be talking specifically about unbelieving believer. Unbelieving believer. Have you seen them? Do you know any one of them? Are they here? Amen. You know, Thomas, you know our friend in the Bible, Thomas Didymus, is one of them. He's an unbelieving believer. And he said, unless I see the holes, I see the where Jesus Christ, the nails went to his, unless I see, I will not believe. And you see believers in the household of God, they are speaking like unbelievers. And they tell, have you heard people say, seeing is believing. Amen. Have you heard people say that? Have you ever said that? Are you an unbelieving believer? ask yourself, am I an unbelieving believer? It's important we know, because the thing about it is the most dangerous parties are the unbelieving believers, because they act as if they believe. They do all the Christianistic. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God will do it. Let God. They say all the right words, but they do not really believe. So how do you deal with such parties? When you deal with unbelievers, you know where they are coming from, and they know where they are coming from. They want to see. And you know why they want to see. And they will see. But the unbelieving believer is acting as if I know God. And thank God for the element of belief that we have just heard in the first service. And if we do not know God, then how do we believe in him? Then we just might just be pretending we believe in him. If we do not believe God for his word, then we might just be pretending that we believe in him. And the circumstances will tell. Because you will go through challenges. And my prayer is that you will break out of that mindset of just being in church or just hanging around believers. It does not. It is who do you say Jesus Christ is. Not what they say. It's who do you say. And our general overseer usually says something that resonated with me many years ago. The fact that you live in a bakery does not make you a loaf of bread. The fact that you live in a cattle ranch does not make you a cattle. So the fact that you have grown up in a Christian home, your parents were Christians, your siblings are Christians, you come to church, you hang out amongst Christians, does not make you a Christian. Jesus Christ asked in Matthew 16, who do men say I am? And one person says, John the Baptist. They say you are John the Baptist. Another says you are Elijah. Another says you are Jeremiah. Another says, well, any one of the prophets, you are the one. But Jesus Christ does not want to deal with us on the basis of crowd knowledge. He wants to deal with us on the basis of your personal knowledge. And Jesus Christ had to leave that level of corporate gathering and say, who do you say I am? What is your personal knowledge of who I am? And everybody began to scratch their head, and suddenly we discovered unbelieving believers. And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus spoke to Peter, not everybody. So Peter, Patrona, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell will not prevail against it. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth will be loosed. So Jesus Christ was now making a declaration on the person that had a personal revelation. Not the crowd. Not the fact that you hang out church. Not the fact that you carry a Bible. Not the fact that you know this person, you know that pastor. It's who do you know Jesus Christ for? Who is he? I want us to quickly look at a scripture in Mark 11. And I said, we're talking about the unbelieving believer. And I want you to ask yourself, am I one of them? Am I one of them? Hebrews 11 gives us, 11:6, gives us an insight. We'll get back to that. Let's look at Mark 9, and we're reading from verse 7. And because of time, I'll just be explaining as I'll explain some things as I read. Mark 9, verse 17. Mark 9, verse 17. The scripture said, then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. In Matthew 17, that same person says, Lord, and knelt before Jesus Christ. Still with the same problem, brought his son. He says here, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. So if he says teacher, he says Lord in Matthew 17, then he must be a believer. But the scripture goes further and says in 18, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. So you can see that it's a serious problem that was occurring. And being an unbelieving believer can be a dangerous place to be. The fact that you're doing all the Christianese things, being an unbelieving believer is a dangerous place, because the problems will be there. The problems will recognize that there's no presence, there's no power, there's no knowledge, and you do not believe. And we see that it explained to Jesus Christ that this has been happening from childhood. Well, let's look at something he said, and I want you to take note. He says, I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. An unbelieving believer begins to look for who to blame. It's not working because there is no anointing. It's not working because this other person's fault. It's this person's fault. It's that person's fault. And that is where the direction he was going as an unbelieving believer. God's word will not return back void. God's word will come to pass. The Bible says if we pray, we believe that we have received it and we shall have it. God's word would not lie. But this man began to throw blame at the disciples. But as we go along, look at verse 19. The Bible says he answered him. Now sometimes we look at it that Jesus left the man and focused on his disciple. He answered him. Because Jesus Christ knew, he could not hide, that he was an unbelieving believer. And if you are here and you are an unbelieving believer, you cannot hide. Jesus Christ knows who believes in him. You cannot fake it. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. He knows those, and those that believe in him. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible. Not you may not, it is impossible. And it's not an academic exercise. It's not an interview. Without faith it is impossible to please him. He that comes to him must believe that he is. He that comes to him must believe that he is. If you are coming to him as his, your healer, you must believe that he is your healer. If you are coming to him as your provider, you must believe that he is your provider. He knows who believes in him. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you believe in him, you will diligently seek him. And Jesus Christ knew that this man obviously was an unbelieving believer. And he said to him, and said, he answered him and said, oh faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Bring his son to me. He will not be talking to an unbeliever. He will be talking to a believer. Am I correct? Because he's saying, you have been in the church. You have heard me. You have read my word. What do you want again? Everybody thinks you are a believer, but you are acting like an unbeliever. And the Bible says, he now brought his son, and Jesus Christ has, how long has this been happening? He said from childhood. And it means that when you are an unbelieving believer, it means that you delay your blessing. It's not anybody's fault. You are delaying your blessing. It is already given. The Bible says in Ephesians, I believe chapter 3, thanks be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given unto us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places through Christ Jesus. It's already done. It's a done deal. God has already given. God has already given. And this man has been delaying the blessing. He has been delaying the deliverance of his son because he has remained an unbeliever. He was just hanging out in the church. The years are going by. Is God unrighteous? No, God is not unrighteous. Is God not able to do it? No, God is able to do it. But you have refused to believe that he's able to. And that's why when Jesus Christ went to his hometown, the Bible says the Messiah could not do much miracles because of their unbelief. The Messiah. So they shut themselves, shut their blessings down, shut their provision down, shut their protection down, shut everything that they could have received from the Lord because the responsibility was theirs. You can't break a person's head and put belief inside it. It's the same teacher that teaches the person that passes and the person that fails. What is the testimony? One did something and one did not do anything. And the Bible says, Jesus Christ said to him in 23, and that tells you again that he knows that he's an unbeliever. He's an unbeliever undercover. That's the cloak of a believer, but it's undercover. There's unbelief underneath. And Jesus Christ now spoke to him. And remember, Jesus Christ deals with parties specifically. He spoke to him, not his disciples. The disciples were held accountable later. He spoke to him. And I believe Jesus Christ is speaking to you. Do you believe? Are you an unbelieving believer? Or do you truly believe? And Jesus Christ said to him, after the man had explained all the difficulties, all the challenges, all the problems, all the situation, Jesus Christ explained to him the word of God. And Jesus Christ said to him, if you can believe, if you can only believe, all things are possible to him that believes. If you can only believe God, this problem would have been solved. And if you can only believe now, this problem can be solved. You will not live here empty-handed. But it can only happen if you believe. And the scripture says in Romans 8, 10, I believe verse 11, it says, if you believe in Jesus, you will not be put to shame. I said, shame will not follow you home in Jesus' name. You will not be naked. Nakedness will not follow you home in the name of Jesus. You will not be afraid. Fear will not follow you home in the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ spoke to him because him, this unbelieving believer, had to learn. Get knowledge so that his situation can change. And Jesus Christ spoke to him and said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. You see, an unbelieving believer was exposed there. He still wanted to go the direction of I believe. But he now realized, I might end up living with nothing. And he now cried out, help my unbelief. Father, upgrade my belief system. Today you can hear the word of God and live the same. It's your choice. Today you can hear the word of God and decide that you will not be an unbelieving believer. And you will see the difference. This last 3 months, you want to make it count. How? By believing God. You wake up every day and say, God, you will do mine today. It might not happen, but you still be consistent. The next day, God, you will do mine today. Because you are being persistent. You know that it will not fail. God will not fail you. If he didn't do it yesterday, yes, it is because it's not the time. Because in his time, he will make all things beautiful. But you will be like Jacob. You will hold on to him and say, God, I will not let you go because you have said this word concerning my life. And because you believe, you are preparing and preparing and preparing. And you know that your testimony has already come. You are not waiting for it. You have already received it. And you are waiting for its physical manifestation. Because if God has said it, the word will become flesh. The Bible says in, I believe in Genesis 21, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, God visited Sarah as he has spoken and did unto Sarah as he has said. God's word cannot lie. God is not a man that he will lie. Has he not said it and will he not come to pass? You know what his word is. The Bible says God has placed his word above his name. Imagine the name of God, and he's now, the word says, he places his word above his name. Because everything that we see, everything that we hold on to, God holds it by the power of his word. If his power fails, everything collapses. So that promise he has made to you, I want to say congratulations. It has come to pass. And the Bible says here, give the Lord a clap offering. Give the Lord a clap. It has come to pass. But this man had to be brought into a position where he acknowledged his situation. You can believe God for your finances, but you don't believe God for your health. You can believe God for your health, but you don't believe God for your family or your marriage. And that's why it's called the full gospel, so that you believe God in every area. You turn to the south, you believe God. You turn to the west, you believe God. You turn to the north, you believe God. You turn to the east, you believe God, because he is all in all. All things. Apostle Paul says in Romans 8:28, he says, And we know all things, not some, all things work together for good for them that love the Lord and called according to his purpose. Everything, whether spiritual, whether physical, whether financial, whether mental, whether academic, whether emotional, everything, because God deals with everything. The big one, the small one, the major one, the minor one, the significant, the insignificant, God deals with it all. Because as you believe in Jesus Christ, says, ask and your joy will be full. This man cried out. He knows where the shoes are pinching. He could either pretend and go home the same, or he could acknowledge his situation and go home different. He says, I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. There's something in my heart that does not believe. And some of us are in that situation. We are hearing testimony. There's something in our heart that says, is this true? Is this true? Am I correct? You don't have that. Are you sure it really happened? Sometimes you might not say, but when you get out there, I don't think that kind of thing happened. Logic, analysis. But when you believe, you don't want to begin to analyze. Just believe God will do it. And God that did this for this man, a boy that is demon possessed for years or from childhood, was delivered. If Jesus, God has given us Jesus, what else can he not give us? Let's quickly look at one or two things. I think we are already running out of time. But one of the things I want you to know is, the scripture lets us know, and we've sent this word of God, because without the word of God, you cannot believe God. It is his word that you are looking on. And I want you to go to a website. If you're on the WhatsApp groups, we always forward the scriptures. If you go to the social media platform, we forward scriptures. You have to hold on to this, because it is that word. If you don't receive that word, then how can you believe that word? If you don't believe that word, then how can you declare that word? If you don't believe that word, then how can you act upon that word? And everything we do is based on our belief system. The chair you sat on, you believed that it was okay. And you sat on it. When you enter into the vehicle, you believe that vehicle, because the manufacturer said it will stop when you press the brakes, then you take a step of faith and enter. when you enter into the plane, it is because of your belief system that this plane will not crash. They have given you that reassurance. How many of us went into the pilot to go and check out the pilot? Did you check the engine? When you go to that restaurant, it is what you believe that you caused you to eat that food. Did you go to the kitchen? You didn't go to the kitchen. But if you like that restaurant, and I come to you one day, and I say, my brother, my sister, that restaurant you go to, I'm told that yesterday, 5 people ended up in the hospital. Indeed, 1 person died. Do you think you will go there? You will not go there. You're not going to go and find, oh no, I don't believe you. Let me go and eat there and find out myself. No, immediately you receive that word and you believe. That restaurant is a no-go area. And you will be communicating that information. Please note, don't ever step there. I want us to rise up on our feet. Amen. What you believe. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world. That's what he already is. He's love. God loved the world and gave his only begotten son. But the responsibility of you and I is that whosoever believes in him, the love of God is there, but who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Who believes in him? You know, so the gospel is not trying to coerce you or persuade you or manipulate you. The gospel is for you to be able to be convicted. Your salvation must come as a result of conviction by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, with the heart man believes, and with the mouth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:10. If you do not believe in your heart, and we persuade you, or we convince you, or we manipulate you, or we force you, it means that when challenges come your way, you are going to be offended with the man or woman that convinced you. But when you believe and you are convicted, God did not promise anyone a bed of roses. He says, I will be with you in the fire. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Because what the enemy wants to use to bury you, God will use it as your testimony. What the enemy wants to use to stop you, God will use it as your testimony. What the enemy wants to use to bring tears and sorrow, God, because therein lies the testimony. And that's why James says, count it all joy when trials and tribulation come. Because when these trials and tribulation come, it is promotion time for someone. It is testimony, because without your trial, there cannot be a testimony. So we believe that God is able to bring us out. But how do we believe? Our belief starts from believing Jesus Christ. If you say you are a Christian and you do not believe in Jesus Christ, then you are an unbelieving believer. Because it starts, that is the foundation. There is no other foundation that anybody can lay, build his house upon but the foundation of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, nobody comes to God except by me. If you don't believe, then you can't embrace him. If you are here and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please, you have found an unbelieving believer. My prayer is that you do not live here an unbelieving believer. It is not churchianity, it is Christianity. It is not plain church, it is a relationship, and it is a personal relationship. If you're here just a few minutes, just lift up your hands. You don't want to look at anybody. Life is not about the other person. We do not know when we will depart. I spoke to some brother a couple of weeks ago. And the next day, I see on Facebook, he has lost his wife last Wednesday, 46 or 47. What happened? She's just gone. We don't know about tomorrow. It's believing Jesus Christ that gives you life on earth and gives you eternal life. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God. We want you to help our unbelief. We do not want to pretend. If we perchance are unbelieving believer, expose us. Expose us. So that we live here true believers. Your word says Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And he was considered a friend of God. Our belief system will make us friends of you. Father, let no one live here as an enemy. Let everyone live here as a friend of God. Let your Holy Spirit continue to stir our hearts. And every heart of stone, let it be broken down. And let it become a heart of flesh. That we may accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Even as we repent of our sins, as we acknowledge our sins, as we repent of it, as we believe in Jesus dying for us, and we embrace him, we cease to be unbelieving believers. We become true believers. Known of the Father, known of the Son, and recognized by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, mighty name.